Welcome, bienvenido, to Santopia Podcast. Healthcare in the United States can be difficult to navigate. We explore the barriers to our personal health and how we can overcome them. With the help from our friends, demystifying misconceptions, inspiring you with our stories, and empower you with our expertise. Join us as we Spanglish our way through healthcare. I'm Dr. Irene Lazarus, and we hope to educate, advocate, and empower you. On this episode, we interviewed the Odiaise twins. They were my fellow classmates from UT Southwestern Medical School here in Dallas, Texas. We learned about their post-pediatric residency journeys. We listened to Eunice's journey as a physician scientist and Elaine's journey through specialization and fellowship. We discuss the meaning, the reasons, and our calling in global health. We dive into our stories and international mission work. Join us. Welcome, ladies. How are you guys
Hi.
Doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, doing good.
It's nice seeing you again, really.
It's good to see you.
I know.
Yeah. Well, to give you a background, guys, these wonderful ladies, I know them for a long, long time. I actually know them from college, and we went through medical school together. And we also share the passion of global health. So given all the things that we have in common and that we have a lot of ideas and we have done some action and work in our community and internationally, I felt like our journeys or any of their wisdom would be very interesting to talk about on Santopia and why we do it as doctors. So I think these are the best girls to talk about that since they're doing it.
Well, thank
and
you.
So let's start out with telling us, we're telling the audience here about your academic journey. So
yeah,
you go first.
Well, after college, I started medical school at UT Southwestern Medical School. Mm-hmm. I think during those 4 years, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to do OB-GYN, surgery, pediatrics. So that was, you know, a struggle to figure out, God, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? Because there were so many aspects of medicine I loved and I became passionate about. I think after the first 2 years, it's just like book smarts where like you're in the books, there's tests every few weeks. And then the last 2 years in medical school, so it's a total of 4 years. In the last 2 years is when I was in the hospital doing rotations, and I absolutely, you know, loved being with patients.
Yeah.
So I knew it was something. I knew it was something I wanted to do. I wanted to be in a field where I'm actively seeing patients, taking care of patients. So kind of ruled things out. You know, radiology, pathology. I was like, those are probably not for me. And just as I continued to go through my different rotations and fell in love with different fields, I knew I always loved children. At church, we do children's ministry, and my passion was children. And just the thought of having to take care of kids that are sick, that kind of made me sad. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do pediatrics, but thought of prayer. I was in between surgical subspecialties, and I even thought about OB-GYN, and ultimately God showed me that the path was pediatrics, and I fell in love with that. And so Eunice and I actually both did residency at Children's Medical Center here in Dallas.
Yeah.
And
so UT Southwestern.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 3 years of pediatric residency, and now I am finishing my first year in pediatric gastroenterology as a fellow here at UT Southwestern. So it's been a long journey, but hard, lots of call, but I love it. I love taking care of the kids.
Yeah. Yes. And my story is pretty similar to that.
Yeah.
I also went to UT Southwestern for medical school, and I went to the same residency. Last June, we both graduated from pediatric residency, and I decided that I was interested in academics. Doctors always say they want to do research and take care of patients and bring their bench work to
The bedside.
Yeah,
make it come alive, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like if you really want to do that, you have to get training. So, you know, I'm very thankful for the opportunity. I'm a postdoc research fellow at Baylor Scott & White here in Dallas. They actually have a Center of Esophageal Research. And so I'm one of their research fellows. And so I'm studying eosinophilic esophagitis, which is one of the diseases of the esophagus that really affect children, adults as well. And so that's what I'm currently doing before I go on to my clinical pediatric gastroenterology fellowship.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And too, like, for you, that you guys had a different journey, like, after residency, because it's kind of scary in our field to, like, not do clinical. Mm-hmm. And since I'm not doing clinical either, you know, it's kind of nice to hear your story, Eunice, and for someone out there to know that there's different options.
Yeah,
and
different
pathways.
And that
you're not weird if you do different things. And so I always love to ask this question because maybe it can inspire a young girl or a young guy out there who's also wanting to go through our a tough career as medicine, but like in general, before you even get to graduate school, like what medicine is, you have to get to college.
And
So what barriers did you guys experience in your career, and also like how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so I guess I'll take this one. I would say probably the biggest barrier which we were able to overcome was so at the end of high school, we both at that point in time knew we both wanted to be doctors. We wanted to make an impact in the lives of other people through medicine.
Yeah.
So we knew we had to go to college and had to go to medical school. And at that time in our family, my father was transitioning jobs and starting his own software engineering company and going into business for himself. And so there's a lot of financial investment that you have to put in starting your own company. And so, but that was right at the time where we're going off to...
We're graduating high school.
And going off to college. So, of course, we don't want to put more burden, financial burden, on our family. And so for us, it was really important for us to seek out different scholarships.
Yeah.
And so we went to the University of Texas at Dallas. And thankfully, we were able to get scholarships to pay our way through undergrad. And those scholarships, so...
Yeah, how did you find them?
Yeah.
So, like, someone out there can find them.
Yeah. So, become best friends with your financial aid office in your school.
Bug the heck out of them. They have a lot
of resources.
If
there's a scholarship to apply for, apply for it.
Apply for
it. Even if you, I might not get it, just apply.
Yeah, I remember in high school we applied for, like, this flowering gardening scholarship. And we got it. And they gave us scholarships. And so if there's a scholarship out there, especially if it's local, because that increases your chance on getting it, like apply to all of them. And so, you know, that was our way to pay our way through school. And the government also has like Pell Grants and things like that that will help you through school. So take advantage of all of those opportunities. And so being able to get a full ride through undergrad was a blessing, you know, especially that way my dad's company was able to thrive, you know, but that and so he was able to start up his company without having that burden. Of course, our parents love us, you know, but for us, that was something we wanted to do. And so so that was important. As we went to medical school, the same thing. We sought out different scholarships and got a lot of support from our university.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing that as well. And I always like to give those resources because, you know, sometimes it's kind of overwhelming to do it on your own. You don't know where to
go
and how to start. And I think it's very important to reiterate the local part because I got one from my church. Like,
cool.
So sometimes you don't even have to go too far.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip.
Yeah.
So let's get into the topic that we were going to talk about today, which is global health.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start off with, like, what is it? What's global health?
Well, global health, it's what it... what it can be so broad, but it's basically what the word is. Health that is global. So any way you can bring medicine, health, education to the world that's at need... so it can start in your backyard. It can be across the world. So it involves everyone in
everyone.
A really big part of it is education, educating people on different aspects of health, how to eat healthy, how to exercise, how to take care of yourself, where to find resources for health.
Right.
Not only in here, in your community here where we live, but all throughout the world. There's different needs and different resources when we go.
And different problems.
Exactly.
Because of, there's a cultural component there. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not only educating patients, but it's educating ourselves.
Yes. About someone else's culture.
Yes, exactly.
And someone else's needs that might not be your own or you might not be used to.
And being competent in terms of like knowing the culture.
Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah.
So knowing that we have need here in the United States, why would we as doctors go out if we have a shortage here?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think a lot of people say that, like, you know, there's needs here. Why do you need to go across the world? Why do you have to go to Peru in order to help people? And that's I understand that question. For us, I think as believers in Christ, the word says, like, go into all the world and preach the gospel and share, you know, God's love. And that's what God calls us to do. And I think it does start at home. I think it does start in your backyard. But whenever you see how much that education, preventive medicine, just your touch of your own hand on someone else's life impacts them, why would you not want to spread it to other people that are in need? Especially when you know there's a community that has so much need and there's no one there to provide or meet that need. I think that's where it starts. And I think if your heart is not to help people where you are, it can't go globally.
Yeah.
I think it does start at home and it needs to expound elsewhere. That's what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. And then also I would say, for us, it was particularly, you know, even when we were in, I would say elementary school, I feel like God put, like, gave us a heart for the Latin community, you know, and learning about, like, their culture, their language. And so for us, we've always been interested in, like, learning Spanish. And
that's why we're friends.
And we've always had tons of Hispanic friends.
I think both of our best friends in elementary school, mine was Diana Guerra
and mine was Monica Martinez. Yes.
And we
would learn Spanish, and then once we got to...
Well, you learned Spanish even in your grade school.
Yeah,
yes, I would learn online.
Spanish, guys.
It's not perfect at all, but it's good to be able to communicate with them. And so as we advanced in our career and saw, hey, we want to take this globally, internationally, it was such a blessing to be able to communicate with them, because that's important. So I think for us, it was like that desire, that
it already started, like, yeah, it started here.
Exactly.
It started in
it started here, and I was already interacting with that community. And then, so I was able to take it globally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, and it's interesting, because I could see God's hands in that, even though, you know, as a, I don't know, 7-year-old, I didn't know. That's why God was putting that passion for the Latino, like, community and Spanish, my passion to learn the language. And a lot of people would ask us, oh, are you all Puerto Rican or are you Dominican? We're like, no, I'm Nigerian. They're like, do your parents speak Spanish? I'm like, no, not at all. But
you're like, they're trying to find a justification.
I know why.
But sometimes there is no justification. Yeah. It's just a calling.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. Like, there's things that come into your life and you just can't ignore it.
Exactly. And I think when I was a 10-year-old, I didn't know that, you know, I would want to do global health later. I just thought it was super cool to know Spanish, and I just wanted to speak Spanish. But now I see that that's something that God put in my heart, put in both of our hearts.
So we would be prepared for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that for me, the reason why I do global health is because my parents are from a different country. Like, I grew up I'm a first generation American.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege to go and travel to my parents' country, which is Honduras, and also all of Latin America. So when I was growing up, I was internationally seeing that firsthand. Maybe it's a little different in America, where some people, like, they probably grow up, never go anywhere until, like, college, where they're trying to explore. But me, it was like, I knew from the beginning how the world was. I had an open mind because my parents, you know, facilitated that.
Yeah.
And because I saw the conditions of a third world country, when you're 12, that's pretty influential, like, to see poverty at that level and to appreciate what you have. And then I think immediately in my heart, I had the conviction to, well, can I change that? Or how can I change that?
Yeah.
And so I haven't done mission work necessarily, like, I went to a Latin American country, but I always, even when I was a kid, I don't even know if you guys know this, but, like, when I was a kid, the way I used to resolve this in my mind was I would, like, get all my McDonald's toys.
Oh, I know the story. I don't know this story.
So, like, I would go to, you know, all the, you know, Burger King and the
McDonald's,
but not to go eat there, to go play at the thing.
Oh yeah.
And that I would
the
get
little playground.
Yeah, the playgrounds. That's how I socialized. I was an only child.
You
guys
always
had a sister. I had to go find friends. And I would always get the
Happy Meal
toy, or I would get my clothes that didn't fit me anymore, and we're going to go to Honduras in 3 months in the summertime. So I would start collecting stuff.
Yeah.
So then when I would go, I would have something
to give.
So that's I would just have it there, and I was like giving it away, you know, and talking with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's so precious, especially as a kid, because you're these toys that you get from Burger King or McDonald's, and you giving it away, that's a big deal.
And too, I felt like I had my own, and I didn't want to give something that was already used, like, for toys. I wanted them to feel like it was a new, and it was for them. Oh. And those were, like, you know, you have to open it.
Yeah. So
they had
a
to open
package.
It. It's like a new.
Yeah.
And so that's how I did it. But then also, when in medical school, I used to, I know there's a lot of things that I cannot fix. Like, there's something, I'm not going to be, you know, Mother Teresa, you know? I mean, that's a very unique person. But everyone has a different approach on how to fix things. And I found very intriguing India, because they were a third world country, just like, you know, Latin America is. But they have all these doctors, all the educated people. And I feel like almost, even though there's way more people, a lot of more people there, and therefore, because there's not, it's still the same problem, like, not enough doctors.
Yeah.
But they're very highly educated
yes.
and pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why can Latin America can't do that? Like, that's why I felt, so I wanted to learn from actually the Indian culture, like, to see why.
Yeah.
Why, and that's why, and that's how Eunice and me went to India
together
in the last medical
school. They left
school.
Me.
Yeah. I went to India and tried to, like, I went to a nonprofit, like, but it was, now it's actually a governmental entity in India, but it started off as a nonprofit from one of our professors at UT Southwestern. Bangalore Baptist Hospital. And so I went there, and I went to the administration, and I was more like, asking questions, how did they do it? Because I was more interested in how they got around the barriers.
Yeah.
Because they're probably almost a similar thing that we would have in Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I learned a lot of things. And I learned a lot about culture.
Yeah.
Like, there's the reason probably that there's some differences
mm-hmm.
And inefficiencies are for different reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And that enlightened me a lot. So, well, let's move on to then why you already asked the question. I was going to ask you about why you do mission work, but we already kind of answered that. And we already asked about how we can do it, why it's a calling. Sometimes you know it's in your heart and your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
that puts it
the
there.
Most obvious thing here you guys haven't mentioned is that you guys have started a mission work on your own in Peru,
yes.
right? And so can you explain to us, like, how you, like, first of all, how did that become an idea and then it actually became a
reality?
Real thing? Yeah.
Yep. Well, you want to talk about a little bit about how it started or how God put that passion in our hearts?
Sure, sure. So we had just finished our first, well, it was actually during our first year of medical school. And so you think you know a lot, but you really don't know a lot yet.
You know nothing.
But Elena and I have always wanted to go international on like a mission trip or something like that. But we, during undergrad, we always had our summers were full with like internships and things like that. So we had never like gone internationally to do a mission trip. And so this was our opportunity. And like I said, like God had put in our hearts that love for the Latin community. So we reached out to one of our staff leaders at our university or at our medical school. We had an organization called Southwestern Christian Fellowship. Yes. And so the leader of that, we told him our desire to go to a Spanish-speaking country that summer. We'll have 10 weeks over the summer that we wouldn't be in classes, and we wanted to go and do a medical mission trip. But we didn't know anyone. And so he got us in contact with some people. We started talking to some missionaries, and this door opened up in Peru for us to do some mission work. And so in Lima, there's actually a mission site there called La Roca. They have a Christian school. So there's tons of kids at that mission site because they all go to school there. And there was a need for medical help. A lot of the people there don't have any access to medical care, and there's a lot of poverty there. And so, you know, God opened that door and we went. And so you always feel like inefficient or not equipped, you know, especially as first year medical students. You know, I still have 3 years of medical school to do, you know, but that which we did know at the time, we were able to give. And we also were teachers in the school because, hey, I can teach English, I speak English. And so we were able to relieve some of the staff. English teachers there at the school.
So they could go back to the States and see their families.
Yeah, some of the missionaries, and then we would teach English. And so that's how it kind of started. And then we just kept going back. So it's been about like 7 years. I can't believe it. So we've learned a lot.
Wow, we're old. But we look good though.
It's been about 7 years, and so, but now, like year after year, God completely, like, He just expands it, and I'm just learned not to put limitations on God. So we now bring teams with us to Peru,
but through which organization?
So through World Reach, or which La Roca is under. So World Reach. Their headquarters is in Birmingham, Alabama, and they have different. And they have many different organizations or different, I guess, locations that have these mission sites. So I think one in Kenya, where else? In multiple countries. And one of them being Peru, and La Roca is the Peru site. And then so they have the school, and they have the church, and they have the prenatal center. They have a lot of clinics there.
Dental clinics.
They have dental clinics as well.
But they need volunteers. They need people to come and give services.
And initially, the team that was going down, it was... Sharon and Harvey McCone from Arkansas, they led this team that was going down to La Roca, and they had people from, I think also West Virginia or Virginia, where else? Different states that came down. And so technically they were our team, and we were so excited to go to La Roca, but we wanted to go for a longer period of time. So we wanted to stay for 2 months. We wanted to stay our entire vacation between first and second year of medical school. And but the team was only staying for a week and a half, something like that. So we went down early, and then our team came later, and then we also joined them, and then we did a lot of mobile clinics around different of the towns, mountain villages. And then of course their time, their week and a half was over, so they left, but we stayed to complete our 2 months there. And we just fell in love with the people. We fell in love with what God was. We could tell God was calling us to. And I think God continued to tell us, medicine is your mission field. Whether it is here in the States, medicine is your mission field. A lot of people think of
your mission field is somewhere in Africa, your mission field is somewhere in China.
Because everybody's different. Like Dr. Yamamoto, he's our sensei, guys. He looks just like Yoda. Very cute and small, but he's very highly intelligent and wise. And he never imagined that he was going to go to Africa, but all the steps were going for him to go there. Exactly. And then he just had to follow.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And then so we were there, we fell in love with the people, and then since then we've been going back. Sometimes it's, unfortunately, at the beginning, the times we would go, we didn't have, you know, a team from Arkansas and Virginia and everyone else. It was just Eunice and I. We would do mission mobile clinics. Mm-hmm. And thank God for La Roca, the church. They would just volunteer, and we'd just come together as a team and set up mobile clinics. We would literally set up tarps, and people would come. Okay. And we would see them until we could literally not see anymore. Like, the sun would set. We could not see the patient in front of us. We used flashlights, and we did that every year. And then the last couple of years, we've organized mission teams, and we've had, they're like people that God has handpicked. It's like to join a side of us and just have the same passion to share Christ through medicine.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing.
And so you girls are very beautiful and inspirational. And so when you start talking about something, oh yes, I want to go.
It's so easy. It's funny because some of my friends, now that I've known them for a long time, they'll say, yeah, the very first time I met, it was like the second thing that you came out of your mouth. Do you want to go to Peru with us? And I'm like, really?
Actually, I said that. Yesterday I was in an Uber and the guy was Hispanic, and then he was like, oh yeah, I want to go to Peru one day. And I was about to be like, you want to come with me? And I was like, wait, I don't even know this guy.
but God has provided. Remember when, like, last year you didn't know what you were going to do, and then, like, a PT person came
and was able to tell
the story about the airport.
Oh, Miss Stacy.
Yeah. Like, no, this is how intelligent these girls are. In genuine. Like, they get stuff into Peru. Okay? So listen and learn.
Well, this is Miss Stacy. Miss Stacy is
credit to her.
All credit to her. She's a physical therapist. And so she had crutches as well as a boot. An ankle boot that she wanted to bring to Peru.
And a wheelchair.
No, not a wheelchair.
And so it's, how do you get all that stuff in? Mm-hmm. We can only take so many
things. Tell people how you get stuff
and things like that. You know, because sometimes you have to worry about whether things are going to get confiscated.
Yes.
During
customs
or in your layover and things like that. So we had to take that into account and, like, pray about it. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, how are we going to get these crutches?
Like, how in the world are we going to do this?
And so so what happened is she actually, like, her ankle was fine, but she used the she actually just came in the airport with her crutches
and she wore the leg brace.
So she wore all the stuff, and then it was great because the team was with her, and they said, oh, ma'am, please come to the front of the line. And so we were able to take all that stuff and get to the, like,
you're hurt. Oh, ma'am, come through customs.
And we got all of our stuff.
Yeah.
In no the problem. Country, no problem, because they had pity on her because she's a cripple, but she wasn't. So that was great.
Until, like, just to set it aside, like, the business aspect of this, there is ways that in the airport, if you know that you're doing mission work and you have an actual entity, like a nonprofit, so you can tell the customs what the medicine's for and have it, like, discounted for. You know, all the standard fees would be kind of different for you as long as you show proof that you are saying what you're doing with this medication is true.
Yeah.
And the customs and airport laws allow you to. But, you know, since you didn't know that you were going to be doing this for 7 years. You just took 1 year at a time.
1 year at a time.
But you just did. You just started. And sometimes that's, I want to let you do it. Yeah. Sometimes you need to just do it and then things will come along.
Yeah.
So right before, you know, you're not an entity yet, but you will be.
We are going to be.
Yeah, soon. You are going to. But, like, So how did you delegate that problem, even though you can't?
Well, so it's very interesting that you said, like, even though you don't know, like, mm-hmm. you know, you just start and then people come along and help you with mm-hmm. it. Like, for example, we've really wanted to start our own nonprofit organization for a while. Mm-hmm. Well, people had been telling us, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to do any of that, you know? But thankfully this year, one of the guys on our team, mm-hmm. Will Louder, he has tons of connections. And so he's actually helping us start our own nonprofit organization. Okay. And so it's just, that's an example.
That's after exactly. 7 years of
exactly.
And due diligence and getting medicine actually in Peru versus not like traveling with the medicine, but because that's dangerous. Like you're saying, but then we buy it in the country. Yes. So that's a smart thing. If you don't have all that or don't feel like you can't do that, you can just go to the country.
Yeah.
Remember, like in Latin America, the medicine is different rules.
Yeah, different
Anyone
rules.
Can buy anything they want.
Different rules and cheaper. And yeah, so cheaper. Most of the medications we buy in country. Mm-hmm. And another example of how God provides resources mm-hmm. and people. Right. So usually we would just go into the country, and our main priority, yes, because that was our profession, was medicine. We want to take care of these 500 patients that we're mm-hmm. going to see. And you know, God would provide. But this year we did a food drive.
Oh yeah, you did.
And so God provided.
That wasn't so it was education. It started off like an education, like school.
And then we started seeing patients. Once we actually knew what we were doing because we're doctors now.
It evolved as they
got better. And then this year we're also we're giving food to the patients mm-hmm. and giving, because that's a need for the people there. Mm-hmm. And so God provided through this guy, Will Louder, who's on our team. He helped us in setting up this food drive and came up with this idea. And so I have mm-hmm. a feeling that this is going to be a really big thing that's going to always be part of our nonprofit organization.
It's funny because it literally is step by step by step. And when we were preparing to go and organizing the medicines, Will had asked, do you think these people would benefit from having food? And Eunice and I looked at each other and we're like, yes.
And then you kind of stepped up, right?
And yes.
So it's just like, this is how it works.
God brings
people just come in.
Yeah,
I can help and bring their expertise.
Exactly.
That you know, because you know medicine. We know medicine, you know, but some people know business.
Exactly.
And
we know nothing about business. I don't know anything about business.
Yeah. So that's amazing. Yeah. And I hope that inspires someone out there. So first of all, just to know that you can always start locally.
Yes.
But sometimes you just need to listen to what's being told to you mm-hmm. and what you should be doing. And if you listen to that, you know, imagine like how many people you're impacting, you know?
Exactly. And God will provide the resources as you go along.
Truly.
Yes. Yeah. If he has you to do something, if he has a purpose for you, he will provide the means.
Right. Yes. So to close off the interview, it's been such a great time.
It's like catching up.
I know, catching up with old friends.
Yeah.
But just to close, what are some words of wisdom that you, like, you know, gold nuggets that you can give to the people about global missions and what you've learned on global missions?
Every year when we go to Peru, I think God teaches us different things. He's taught us not to limit him.
Yeah.
He's taught us that your vision might be this small, but he has something bigger.
Yeah.
And sometimes he brings people like our friends, even those that have gone on the mission trip, my dad, to just tell me, hey, you're thinking too small. God can explode this, and he does.
And he does,
That you shouldn't be narrow-minded. And I mean, God is a God of the impossible. He that has saw us through all these burdens that we've had, or struggles.
And obstacles.
And obstacles. Mm-hmm. He brought us through to do a purpose that he has for us. And I see that. If it was that I just wanted to do my own thing mm-hmm. Back in medical school, and I just said, you know, I want to do surgery. I want to make a lot of money. I want to do this and not been so prayerful and awaited mm-hmm. what God had for me. Would I have done pediatrics? Would I have continued to pursue children's ministry, which mm-hmm. is, both of those things are so crucial and the center of what we do in Peru at La Roca. So listen to what God has for you. Don't limit him, and he will show you the way.
Yeah, he'll provide the resources, you know, because a lot of the people we went to medical school with, Caroline, Yunga, Felona, you know.
And we went to India together.
And we went to India together, yes.
And they've gone to Peru with us. You need to come to
Peru. And they came to Peru with us.
Hey, you know, if someone wants to sponsor us, like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll go international too. You know? But yeah, I agree completely with your comment, because that's the same thing that's happened to me with. So I just want to impact people. I want to help. And I know what I didn't know before.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how lost someone can be with so many barriers, you know, socioeconomic barriers and then language barriers.
Yes.
And to know that I have that power. I mean, I also had doubts.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize, like, oh, you know, people are like so hungry and so desperate for someone to help them. When you realize, oh wow, I can speak their language.
Yes.
Oh wow, I actually know some more things now. How can you not share it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show today on Santopia, and take care. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
If you're interested to go to La Roca in Peru with the twins, you can have three options, okay guys? You can go to world-reach.org and find the different mission sites, or go with the twins to Peru and La Roca. Second, you can email them directly to missionsforeternity@gmail.com. Again, that's plural missions. So missionsforeternity@gmail.com. And finally, of course, you can always direct message me and any of my platforms, and I'll try to move you towards the twins. So take care, and hope to see you in Peru. You have been listening to Santopia Podcast, a Dr. Lazarus Media Health Literacy Initiative. Please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Dr. Irene Lazarus to see what this chica is up to next. Hit the subscribe button, rate this podcast, and most importantly, share this information with someone that could benefit from it. Thank you so much for listening. Love you. Agape.